And we are back, and this is another edition of Victory Monday! Oh, I'm just not breathing over there. Whew. Welcome back again to the podcast on this Victory Monday. Guys, the Cincinnati Bengals are one win away from going back to the Super Bowl after demolishing the Buffalo Bills. Is that a good word to use? Demolishing? How about just straight up domination of the Buffalo Bills on Sunday at Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium? Bengals 27, Bills 10 in the AFC divisional playoff game. Unbelievable. What a performance. And I said in the Instant Reaction podcast after the game on Sunday night, I mean, out of all the playoff wins the Bengals have had over the last year or so, they have five now in the last year, this is the most, like, satisfying one. I know we got the AFC title game coming up with the Chiefs this coming Sunday night, but the reason why this is very satisfying to me is just because of how the way they played. They played such just complimentary, I pronounced that word wrong, just on both sides. It was a complete game. Offense, defense, the offensive line. Everybody was saying, oh, well, all about the Bengals offensive line. They got three new starters and the Bills defensive line is probably going to feast. Bengals offensive line was like, nah, F you. They just straight up dominate them. And then the Bengals defensive line, well, people are saying, well, they don't really, you know, get to the quarterback as much. And nobody, you know, this is why I don't pay attention to media at all. Nobody was talking about the Bills offensive line other than me and the real Bengal fans on social media that actually know football and actually do their research and homework about football and the opponents. And I looked at the Bills offensive line. They weren't good at all. Going up to this matchup, they haven't been good at all this season. And the Bengals defensive line was just eating up the Bills O-line. Everyone thought it was going to be the total opposite. No, Bengals D-line did their thing. And my goodness, the first two offensive drives of the game by the Cincinnati Bengals, it was a statement. They were out to prove to the league, to the Bills, to the Chiefs, that, as Joe Burrow puts it, we're the big dogs. And the Bengals are the big dogs trying to get back to the Super Bowl and also getting back to the Super Bowl and actually win it. The Bengals are here as the big dogs trying to defend their AFC title crown. Like, when are you guys going to wake the fuck up? I'm talking about the people out there that still do not believe in this team. You're delusional. Everybody was crowning the Buffalo Bills before the season as Super Bowl champs. Everybody thought the Chiefs were, you know, people thought the Chiefs were going to represent the AFC. It was Bills Chiefs, right? As the two top picks for people that were going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Nobody was talking about the Bengals. You know, the Bengals were what? A minute and 30 seconds left in last year's Super Bowl from winning it. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, it's so funny that people still doubt this team. And I think the Bengals, after their win against the Ravens on Wild Card Weekend, and everybody was saying, well, the Bengals really struggled against the Baltimore Ravens playing their backup. Yeah, a Ravens team that has an elite defense, and also the Bengals are playing against the Ravens for the third time this year. Not only are they playing three times in a season, they're playing in back-to-back weeks. And that's all I heard this last past week. That's all I heard. The Bengals struggled against the Ravens. Nobody really is talking about the Bills struggling against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins were playing their backup quarterback in Skylar Thompson. And their offense put up 24 points against the Bills. But no, let's talk about the Bengals struggling against the Baltimore Ravens. Like, what are we doing? Like, the hate for the Bengals is so real. And you know what? I embrace it so much. Because you just mad because you ain't us. Period. Okay? So, coming into this game against the Buffalo Bills, guys, I'll admit, every Bengals game, I go into it very nervous. I was very nervous for the Ravens game, alright? In the wild card game. all last week leading up to this Bills game in the divisional round, I was very calm because I knew the Bengals were going to win. I knew it was, going into this game, I knew it was going to be, I predicted that it was going to be a close game, but I was very confident that the Bengals were going to win. Now, I didn't expect the Bengals to win by 17 points, but I knew they were going to win, right? Because I just had that feeling. Like, I knew that Ravens game was going to be so tough that once they get through that game, that's the best defense the Bengals will face all playoffs in the AFC. No disrespect to the Chiefs defense, all right? They have improved so much throughout the year, and it's still going to be a challenge for the Bengals offense. But the Ravens were the Bengals' best defense they have faced in the playoffs in the AFC. Okay? So, coming into this game, the Bills are missing Von Miller. And boy, I bet they wanted Von Miller in this game, right? Because the Bengals were starting Jackson Carmen, Max Sharping, Hakeem Ajinity. Oh, the Bills fans are saying, man, if we would have had Von Miller, it would have been a different game. Maybe. I still would have picked Cincinnati because I still think overall the Bengals are still the better team. But Bills fans were saying all week long that the Bills defensive line was going to eat up the Bengals O-line. That didn't happen. It was the whole opposite. And also, this Bengals team is battle-tested. What they went through last year in the playoff run, they know these moments. But the media just likes to say, the Bills, I believe in the Bills. The Chiefs, the Chiefs have been there, okay? The Chiefs have been in the AFC title game for the last 5 seasons, and they've won a Super Bowl in that span. So I understand why people are picking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl in the beginning of the season. But even though the Bengals did beat them last year in the AFC title game, but, we're just going to discredit that, right? Because, fuck the Bengals, right? And the Bengals come into this game against the Bills as 5.5-point underdogs, which was hilarious to me. Very hilarious. I bet the money line on this game. And I won that shit. Even though I'm not really good at betting, but that's a story for later. January 2nd, the whole DeMar Hamlin situation, and I said it so many times in the podcast, I am so happy that he's doing well. He was at the game on Sunday. He was in the locker room trying to get their team, riled up for the second half. I'm glad. I feel like we do a little too much coverage on Hamlin. Leave the boy alone. Leave the statement alone. Let them enjoy their time watching their team play. But if that doesn't happen in January the 2nd, the Bengals are rolling the Bills in Paycor Stadium. And also, the game on Sunday should have been in Paycor Stadium, but the NFL pretty much fucked us over. Let's not get it twisted. But I just had a feeling that the NFL really wanted the Bills and Chiefs to meet up in the AFC title game. They were selling tickets last week. Over 50,000 tickets were sold between the Bills and the Chiefs fans and their season ticket holders. The game was going to be a neutral site in Atlanta in the Mercedes-Benz Arena. Or it was a big-ass dome. I almost said Superdome, but it is a dome. Everybody wanted that. And the NFL wanted that. And the Bengals went into Orchard Park and crashed that party. So, to anyone out there that's getting their refunds this week, fuck your refunds, okay? I don't give a shit. And NFL can just... Trying to not cuss a lot, but it's very hard. I'm fired up because Bengals teams just continue to get disrespected, but you know what? They're just going to prove it out in the field. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. So fuck your refund money. Fuck the NFL. Fuck you, Roger. And I can't wait for the AFC title game on Sunday night in Kansas City. It should be a good game. But let's recap this game that took place on Sunday in Orchard Park. Like I was talking about in the beginning, the Bengals offense That first drive was a masterpiece. Six plays, 79 yards, took 3 minutes and 20 seconds off the clock. Joe Burrow finding Ja'Marr Chase for a 28-yard touchdown reception. The way Joe Burrow moves around the pocket, if you don't get him down and he's moving with the ball and he's throwing the ball while he's moving, it's a wrap. He's going to find his receivers. And he did that, finding Ja'Marr Chase, who was wide open in that touchdown. And then the Bengals defense, three and out on the Bills' first offensive drive. Josh Allen did miss Stephon Diggs for a potential touchdown. But shout out to Joseph Osai, who hit Allen's arm right when he was about to throw it to Diggs. And that caused the overthrow. Because if he didn't hit that arm, if Osai didn't hit that, that looked like a touchdown, or it was going to be obviously a big play. So that was big right there. And then the Bengals' second offensive drive, 10 plays, 72 yards, took 6 minutes and 15 seconds off the clock. On this drive, Joe Burrow was only sacked one time. That was the only sack the offensive line gave up all game. Incredible. 3rd and 7, all right, from the 15-yard line. The Bengals have run this play quite a bit during the season, but it didn't work. It worked this time. It was a fake wide receiver screen to Ja'Marr Chase. And then here comes tight end Hayden Hurst, left wide open in the right-hand corner of the end zone. I'm talking about wide open for a touchdown. 15-yard touchdown reception. 14-0 Bengals in the middle of the first quarter. Let's go, right? Then the Bengals defense, another three and out. And I'm just thinking to myself, man, the Bengals offense in this third offensive drive of the game, did they go right down the field and score it again? 21-0. This game is over. Even though the Bills have a great offense, I thought the Bengals was just on point. Offense and defense in the first half. But then the Bengals offense, they went 6 plays in their third offensive drive, and then they punted. And then the Bills finally get a touchdown drive. It was a long drive. 15 plays, 75 yards, took 7 minutes and 41 seconds off the clock. Josh Allen ran it in for a 1-yard touchdown run, said some words to Jesse Bates. A little taunting, but I'm kind of glad there was no penalty there. The officials were letting the players play. I will get to the officiating here shortly. And then, let's talk about the officials, right? The Bengals' fourth offensive drive. This was another long drive by the Bengals. 14 plays, 65 yards, took 5 minutes and 36 seconds off the clock. 3rd and goal, right, from the 10-yard line. Joe Burrow throws an absolute dime to Ja'Marr Chase, who made an unbelievable catch. Touchdown, right? 27 pending extra point. Then, as we're watching the replay, Jim Nance, Tony Romo, the CBS number one broadcasting team, was saying, oh, that ball bobbled as Chase was going to ground. Even though he did caught it, he had possession, even though it was a little bobble. You've seen it before. They still ruled out a touchdown, and on the field, it was ruled a touchdown. And then, is it Gene Senator, whatever his name, the rules expert for CBS? And he's on my last nerve. Tony Romo is always in my last nerve, and this game on Sunday did it for me. But the rules expert Gene, I can't stand them. He was thinking that he was like, you know what, this play is definitely gonna get overturned. Let me pull up the rules, all right, of this play, right? So completed or intercepted pass, all right. Number one, this is the first line of this rules sheet. Movement of the ball does not automatically result in loss of control. If a player who satisfied A and B but has not satisfied contacts the ground and lose control of the ball, it is an incomplete pass. If the ball hits the ground before he regains control, or if he regains control out of bounds. Okay. So, I think you guys have seen I know you guys have seen the play. So, as Chase was going to the ground, obviously he had 2 feet in the end zone, so it's a touchdown. The Bills linebacker, Matt Milano, okay, he made a nice play to generate the bobble, but Chase, even though he bobbled it, he still had the ball in his possession. And you've seen it plenty of times, man. They still ruled that a touchdown. And like I said, the call on the field was a touchdown. And then they overturned it. Throughout the game, throughout the first half, I was very calm. And then when I watched that they overturned that, I had to put a dent in the wall because I'm thinking to myself, the NFL is about to fuck us over. That was just sickening. Like, are you kidding me right now? Really? The Bengals ended up kicking the field goal. That was on third and goal, so they called it incomplete. McPherson hits a field goal. 17-7 Bengals at halftime. I just can't believe that they overturned that. That should have been a touchdown. Chase should have had 2 touchdowns in the game. But whatever. Bills get the ball to begin the second half. They go 14 plays, 65 yards. They took 7 minutes and 18 seconds off the clock. Shout out to the Bengals defense for holding them to 3 points. I think that was big right there. Because they look at the Bills about to score to make it a 3-point game. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, game on. And then Dax Hill made a nice play in coverage on tight end Dawson Knox on third and goal to force the Bills to kick a chip shot field goal. So that was big and good for Dax Hill for bouncing back in this game after a rough one in the wild card game against the Ravens. Bengals' first offensive drive of the second half. They go 12 plays, 75 yards. Took 6 minutes and 25 seconds off the clock. Joe Mixon, who had one hell of a game, ran in from 1 yard out. They had to review it. They had no signal. I'm thinking to myself, this man's in the end zone. And they were going to go on replay, and I'm like, oh boy, if they say no touchdown. This was on, was it on third and goal? Yeah, it was third and goal, second and goal, I'm sorry. I'm thinking to myself, they're going to overturn it. They're going to make up some bullshit. Well, we couldn't see. I'm like, Mixon's body crossed the plane. Like, what do you mean? CBS gave a great angle of the play. Like, he's definitely in. Don't know why they reviewed it, but I'm glad they did. Touchdown Bengals, 24-10 Cincinnati. And then after that, the Bengals defense and Lou Anarumo, they just went to cook. The Bills' final 3 offensive drives of the game, it went 3-and-out, turnover on downs, and then a pick by Cam Taylor-Britt pretty much just sealed the domination of Lou Anarumo's unit. Unbelievable. Like, whew. The Bengals, they kicked the field goal to begin the fourth quarter. They could have scored, but they got the field goal to make it 27-10. And then in my head, I'm thinking, okay, this game's over. The Bengals defense is playing so well. The Bills offense just looked completely lost. And yeah, we got them. We got them. Unbelievable. Unbelievable performance. Unbelievable win. So lots of game balls to give out for this game. Joe Burrow, 23 for 36 for 242 yards passing. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Joe Mixon, guys. And I've been saying it in the podcast over the last month and a half. I'm like, what is going on with the Bengals offense when it comes to their running game? And when I was doing the recap of, when I was doing the preview of this game on Friday, I told you guys about my confidence level about their Bengals running game coming into this game. It was like, I believe I said it was 2.5. That was the confidence level meter that I had with the Bengals running game. Because it just looked really bad. The first half against the Ravens in the playoff game, Mixon did show some flashes. And then after that, the Ravens just pretty much packed in the Bengals running game. So I was just like, I just hope Joe Burrow doesn't throw the ball for like 60 times in this game against the Bills. And then when I saw Mixon in that first offensive drive, he pretty much, he lowered his shoulder, right? And he just bulled over Matt Milano, the Bills linebacker. When he did that, I'm like, okay, Mixon is, he's not playing. And I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for. And this is what us fans have been waiting for as well. For Joe Mixon to just be the Joe Mixon that we know he can be. Waiting for that Mixon that guy that had, what, 5 touchdowns against the Panthers in the regular season. In this game, he had 20 carries for 105 rushing yards, 5.3 average per rush, and a touchdown. Overall, the Bengals running game rushed the ball for 172. 172. If you would have told me before the game that the Bengals are going to run for over 100 yards against the Bills, I would have said, you're lying to me, number one. Number two, oh, hell yeah, we're winning this game. Wow. P. Ryan was running tough. Joe Burrow had a couple of runs. Like, if the Bengals do that, if they run the ball like they did against the Buffalo Bills, man, they're going back to the bowl. They're not going to go back to the bowl, but they run like this against Kansas City on Sunday night, man, shit. I'm going to give our credit to the Bengals offensive line. I have to stand up for this. The Bengals offensive line. That was pretty much the talk all week last week. Oh my gosh. No Collins. No Kappa. No Jonah. Insert in Jackson Carmen. Max Sharping. Hakeem Ajenity. Oh my gosh. And you know what they did? Played one hell of a game. Jackson Carmen. First career start on the road in the playoffs in a hostile environment. He looked good. He had some moments, but overall, he did a good job. Only allowed one quarterback hit, which it was a scary quarterback hit because he threw his defender to the ground and the defender got through Burrow's legs. And then Burrow was kind of wincing as that defender made contact after that, and I'm like, oh no. So Jackson just needs to be careful with that. You got to finish your man, but make sure that man is nowhere near the quarterback. But other than that, he played good. I think Hakeem Ajenity played really good in this game, especially in the run blocking. He was, when Mixon had that big 16-yard burst in the Bengals' second offensive drive, he just, man, that block he had on that Bills player, I was like, oh my. Hakeem, okay, I see you. Like, that was great. Cordell Volson, he's been struggling a little bit lately, but this was his best game of the season. He looked really good. There's a reason why the Bengals drafted him in the 4th round. Volson played incredible. Max Sharping played well. Ted Karras, man, he needs a standing ovation. I mean, then again, I'm going to give this, I already give the O-line a standing ovation. Ted Karras deserves a standing ovation because during the CBS broadcast crew, one of the sideline reporters said, uh-oh, another injury to the Bengals offensive line. And I'm like, what? I'm like, it better not be Ted. And then she said, Ted Karras. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what? Why is this happening to us? Like, why? And he said it was his knee. And obviously, he was showing discomfort, and he put a knee brace, and he just gutted it out. He played like a warrior, and Ted Karras is one of my favorite players in that locker room, and he loves his teammates, he loves Cincinnati, and he is just the right vocal leader that the Bengals need. Like, he is so good, and I'm so glad the Bengals got him. So shout out to Ted. He said after the game that there is no way in hell he's not going to play next Sunday or this Sunday against Kansas City. He is going to play. He is not going to miss that game, okay? They can put a knee brace or whatever, anything. Ted Karras is playing on Sunday against Kansas City for the right to go to the Super Bowl. All right? He is playing. So get that out of your head thinking that, oh, you might miss. No, he's not. Bengals defensive line. Whew. Like I said in the beginning, they bullied the Bills off the line. And even though the Bengals only got to Josh Allen one time, every time they were getting pressure. They were getting onto him, but, you know, with it being, it was snowing in Buffalo and the footing, it was tough. And Allen is just, he's too of a big body quarterback, so it's kind of hard to get him down. But the Bengals were hitting him. They were relentless. They were not playing around. The Bengals defensive line, Trey Hendrickson, DJ Reader, Sam Hubbard, Mike Hilton was just hitting people. He's number 21, right? He was pretty much on 21 Savage mode. That's what Hilton was doing on Sunday. And then Cam Taylor-Britt played one hell of a game. Got his first career interception. I was waiting for a CTB interception. Like, it has been brewing. Like, I'm like, he's going to get a pick soon. It's going to happen in the playoffs. It's going to happen. And he did it. Also, he had a big breakup pass on Gabe Davis. So the Bengals scored with that Mixon touchdown run to make it 24-10. Bills next off the drive. I think it's third and five, I believe. Allen throws a deep pass to Davis, and it looked like Davis was going to catch the ball. And then at the split second, Cam Taylor-Britt got his arms, knocked the ball down out of Gabe Davis's hands. Huge, huge play right there. Forces the Bills to go 3-and-out and punted the ball. That was big right there, because if Davis catches that ball, that Bills drive continue, and who knows, they probably might have maybe scored. So that was such a great recovery play by CTB. And then the Bengals cornerbacks, between him, Eli Apple, I mean, they shut down the Bills receivers. I mean, we're all week, everybody's saying that Diggs is going to have a great game. I mean, dude only had 4 catches for 35 yards. And Dawson Knox was the leader receiver for the Bills with 5 catches for 65 yards. Gabe Davis only had 3 catches. The Bengals corners, they took it personal, saying that the Bengals corners are weak and that they're going to try attacking them. Well, they stood to the ground, and they dominated. And like I said, Dax Hill, he played better than he did against the Ravens in place of Trey Flowers, who was doubtful to play in this game because of a hamstring injury, I believe. So hopefully Trey Flowers will be available on Sunday, because he did a good job on covering Travis Kelce in the AFC title game and in the matchups the Bengals have played against the Chiefs over the past year. He's always a guy that pretty much guards Kelce and does a great job. I'm not saying Dax Hill's up to the challenge, but there's a difference between Travis Kelce and Dawson Knox. I think Dawson Knox is a good tight end, but Travis Kelce is like on a whole other level. He is the best tight end in the NFL. So you kind of want a lengthy body, tall dude, like a Trey Flowers. But Dax played well. Great experience for him. He looked very comfortable yesterday playing. So that was something that I was looking for, and I was very impressed by that. Let's see. Drew Chrisman, he had one hell of a punt. He only had 2 punts in this game, but this punt went 45 yards, and he pinned the Bills inside the 10-yard line. It was one hell of a punt. So, Chrisman, such a weapon, and to be punting the ball like that in those conditions, well done. Evan McPherson. Now, Evan has been up and down this year. He still makes his field goals from like long distance, but when it comes to shorter distance, he's been shaky this year. I have no idea why. But in this game, he was able to make his short field goals. He was 2 for 2. And also, he made his extra points. He was 3 for 3. Something Brett Maher can't do. So good for Evan. It's I'm glad that what you saw from him on Sunday, that's the Evan we saw in the Bengals playoff run last year. So great game all around. There's really no negatives to take from this game because the Bengals was just, it's pretty much almost like a complete game. And I want to say almost. I think overall they played a complete game. I think it's the best. Yeah, you know what? Screw that. This is the complete game. All phases. Offense, defense, special teams. Complete game all around. Head coach Zach Taylor was in his bag. Zach Taylor, this is probably his best coaching he did all season in this game. He out-coached Sean McDermott of the Bills by a mile. Not even a mile. More than that. So Zach Taylor deserves credit. Lou Anarumo remains just the GOAT of just being the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, period. And the Bengals are still alive, and we're only one win away from going back to the bowl. That has been their goal this year. Win the division, win the conference, and win the Super Bowl. You got the division checked off. Now it's time to win the AFC Championship. The Bengals are their first team, okay? The Bengals are the first team ever to lose the Super Bowl the previous year. In the next season, to start off the season 0-2 and then make the conference title game. That's incredible. Everybody was running off the Bengals after 0-2. I wasn't. I was just pissed off that we lost those two games the way we did. Because I know they should have been 2-0. But for them to overcome a lot, started 0-2, getting massacred by Cleveland on Halloween night. That was the last loss the Bengals had all season. And now they're in a 10-game winning streak in the AFC title game with a shot to get back to the Super Bowl. Also, this is the first time in team history that the Bengals have made it back to the AFC title game in back-to-back seasons. Also, shout out to the Houday Nation crowd. Shout out to the people that made the trip to Buffalo. The Houday chants, oh, that made me emotional. And then whenever T. Higgins gets a reception, you just heard the T. You can hear that while watching the game on TV. It was so beautiful to hear. I mean, this organization has been through a lot. Myself and those and the diehard fans. I'm not talking about the new fans. New fans, you're welcome to the bandwagon. It's fine. But for the diehards, everything we've been through, man. And then just to see where this organization's at. It's truly, it's special. It's a special thing going on here in Cincinnati, and I am not taking it for granted at all. I am enjoying every moment, and once we beat the Chiefs, we're going back to the Super Bowl, and we're going to get what we got stolen from us last year. All right? We're going to get it back. But first, we got to focus on Kansas City. That's number one. Okay, before I talk a little bit about the game coming up on Sunday, I'm going to figure out the stats. Where did I write it? I got so many notes on me. Give me a second. So the Bengals defense overall allowed 325 total yards of offense to the Bills. The Bills averaged 380 a game. Incredible. The Bengals offense, 412 total yards of offense, 30 first downs, 6 of 10 on third downs, only 2 penalties all game for the Bengals. Incredible. Complete game, period. And in the time of possession, Bengals dominated. It was 33 minutes to 26 minutes. Just outclassed the Bills. They didn't belong in the field. And yeah, that's pretty much it. This result would have been the same result in Paycor in January 2nd. It would have been the same thing. They were about to blitz them. They were. But we had to do the blitzing in Buffalo, which I think it makes it even more sweeter, in my opinion. All right. Round 4. Bengals, Chiefs. Sunday, 6:30 on CBS. Joe Burrow is 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes hurt his ankle against the Jacksonville Jaguars in their divisional game on Saturday. He came back and played the game. But it's something to look for all week. His ankle's not going to be 100% come Sunday. But with a limited Mahomes when it comes to running, I will still take him over any quarterback other than Burrow in the NFL. He's still going to be Patrick Mahomes. I think the Bengals and Luana Rumor are aware of his ankle sprain. It's a high ankle sprain. Andy Reid said that there's no fractures, so that's good. I want Mahomes to be healthy. I really do. But I feel like he's going to be limited, but he's still going to make plays because he's Patrick Mahomes and he is a top two quarterback in the NFL. I believe Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL. I believe that. But him and Mahomes are 1-2. That's just my opinion. But Joe Burrow, when it comes to just managing the game and just making the right passes, his pocket presence, he can run and throw the ball at the same time. Such a leader. He is so cool under pressure. Nothing phases that man. He's pretty much like a young Tom Brady. And that's why I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. But people still have Mahomes as the best quarterback in the NFL, which is fine. That's okay. Pat's really good. Just watch for his ankle all week. I still think he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. He's still going to make plays. He's still dynamic regardless. But that ankle still, it's going to limit him quite a bit. But like I said, he's still going to do Mahomes things, meaning he's going to make some plays. He's going to make those flashy plays, and I'm going to be like, what the fuck? We know this as Bengals fans. We played the Chiefs 3 times in the last year. We won them all. Can the Bengals go 4-0 against the Chiefs in a span of a year? That's incredible. So I'm going to preview this game. I'll have that podcast up on Friday. But until then, guys, until 6:30 on Sunday, just enjoy this, okay? It's a good time to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan. The city's buzzing. Feels like last year, but the Bengals are a better team, better on offense, better on defense, better on special teams when it comes to a punter, and their quarterback is much better than last year. And their locker room is so close. The chemistry is unbelievable. Zach Taylor is a better coach than he's ever been in his time here in Cincinnati. Lou Anarumo has just leveled up since last year's playoff run. It's good times, guys. So let's just embrace this moment, enjoy it, and we'll get ready to beat the Chiefs again on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. All right, guys. I will talk to you guys later in the week. You guys have a good week, and... Hootay!